Around the globe, retailers are being hard-pressed to not only sell ecologically safe product, but also to operate sustainable companies. Faced with this emerging paradigm, these companies and their suppliers are realizing they also need to capitalize on being sustainable. But how is the question? That's why a day-long solutions lab, co-organized by the Environmental Defense Fund and the Applied Sustainability Center in the Walton College of Business, was packed. The 80 attendees were not the usual environmental ilk. Rather, these men in designer suits and women in glossy high heels listened closely to leading sustainable retail experts.
How do we tilt the floor for all the products to start looking in the direction of how do we move forward in the terms of chemical sustainability? So that's been my recent approach.
Retail suppliers here represented a who's who of industry. Stonyfield Farms, Electrolux, Dean Foods, Syngenta, Lipton Tea, Unilever, and Waste Management, all looking to build the business case for sustainability. The gathering's part of a nationwide Green Innovators in Business 2010 Solutions Labs series, hosted in 9 cities, including Boston, Seattle, Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., and Fayetteville, Arkansas. Leah Jepson, Director of Sustainability for Global Sourcing at Walmart, was much sought after during this conference. She says a sustainable supply chain precedes demand by consumers for now.
So the consumer really isn't demanding it just yet. We as a company are deciding we need to take it on because it's the right thing to do right now. So that's really where it's coming from.
Several years ago, Walmart announced the formation of a sustainability consortium to establish global scientific standards to measure the sustainability of consumer products. Now the question is how to make money from being sustainable, right? Leah Jepson said companies should start with an ecological audit.
The first thing I say start with is have some baselines. What is your energy usage on products? What is your water usage on products? What are all of these baselines that you have? What is your carbon footprint? Once you have those baselines, you can start measuring and you can start saving and you can make a difference on that. That's what I'd start with.
And assess the waste stream, Leah Jepson said. Walmart has set an ambitious goal to generate zero waste by 2025. Vonda Lockwood is Walmart's Director of Innovations and Sustainability. She oversees a program called Landfill Waste Reduction at stores, clubs, and distribution centers.
So, for example, apparel that gets returned for whatever reason, can't be resold, instead of throwing it away, we now send it to the return centers and it gets liquidated, repurposed, reused, etc. Items like icing buckets, absorbent buckets, floral buckets, for example, those were basically once done going into the trash. So now we rinse them, wash them a little, palletize them, send them back to the return center. They're either liquidated, repurposed, grind, if you will, and those get put back into a product line. So instead of items going into the waste stream, we're trying to find an exit strategy for everything that comes into our buildings that it has a plan to leave our building other than to the landfill.
And with recycled materials being a commodity, Vonda Lockwood advised participants to create a revenue stream from sales of their recycled waste. Lockwood said every division at Walmart is on a sustainable track, and all its vendors, called supplier partners, must also become zero waste compliant. And she's clearly enthusiastic about pushing this.
It's been a great journey. I've been fortunate to have a great support team. And this has been, in my career with Walmart, one of the most exciting things to work on. So I'm looking forward. By no means are we done, but we have made a great accomplishment so far.
At the 2009 annual shareholders meeting in Fayetteville, Walmart's leader, Mike Duke, declared his company's goal is to provide value to the customer, revenue for the stockholder, while being good for the earth. Since 2005, Walmart's top eco-advisor has been the Environmental Defense Fund, based in San Francisco. EDF opened an office in Bentonville in 2007. Michelle Harvey, EDF project manager, stressed there's no conflict of interest in the partnership.
One of the key things about the way Environmental Defense Fund works with private business, we did never take money from any of our partners. When we partner with a corporation, we are looking at the planet as the client, and we really need the business to work with us. So working with Walmart, for instance, is a way to get better environmental results. So we're lucky in that we're not in a situation for conflict of interest. Our funding comes through our donors, and we're able to say what we think and feel is important.
EDF operates an online innovation exchange for business and the environment and has been advising merchants for over 20 years.
We're a very small group. We only have, on any given team, we have 3 or 4 people. And so here in Bentonville, for instance, we'll get calls from suppliers who say, oh, can you work with us? And we really can't. We just don't have that many people. So the Innovation Exchange is a way to capture good ideas, to share case studies, to present blogs and new innovations so that we can offer people opportunities on what to do about their carbon footprint or waste or water, those types of things.
Taking stock of inventory, a life cycle assessment, as it's called, of products was discussed from manufacturing to disposal, as well as renewable and sustainable sourcing practices. Most notable at this gathering was a plethora of emerging businesses, Hawking Sustainable Consulting, basically making money on teaching companies to make money on being sustainable. Companies with the name like Clear Green Advisors, companies with names like Clear Green Advisors, Planet Forward, 2 Degrees, Eco Tuesday, and a media group called GreenBiz.com. These are capitalists, after all, with stockholders to satisfy. So how does one leverage sustainability to grow revenue? Michelle Harvey.
Use good environmental decision-making to get better business results. Energy efficiency is the easiest story to tell. Reducing your energy reduces your energy costs, but it reduces greenhouse gas. It's a good deal for the planet. But in a lot of cases, waste is a good example. You've paid for something, and then you pay to throw it away. So if you can reduce your inputs, if you can change what you have to dispose of at the end of the day, you're going to be saving your organization money. And again, you're going to have better benefits for the planet.
At the day-long paperless conference, the agenda was on cardstock placards posted at each table. And the group posted its own wiki on the web, tracked and tweeted by participants via smartphone and iPad. They also networked on the best public relations methods to tout their sustainable management practices and products. The best example of this is Clorox.
Greg Van Buskirk, I'm a research fellow with the Clorox company. I'm responsible right now for developing technical support for our external communications, but I've been a formulator for close to 30 years, well over 30 years now, and been responsible for cleaning products and hard surface cleaning products, including Greenworks, which is our natural line of cleaning products.
Clorox launched Greenworks, its brand of natural cleaners, in January 2008, producing natural laundry detergent, dish soap, even toilet cleaners. The company donates a portion of its Greenworks profits to the Sierra Club. Clorox also sells conventional bleach, but its website teaches consumers that while industrial bleach used in wood and paper products pose a hazard, household bleach is harmless to the environment if used correctly.
You know, strangely, one of my responsibilities is to talk about bleach, too. And bleach is kind of that target on the deer's chest in the old Gary Larson cartoon, bummer of a birthmark, Hal. But in order to come into this new form, knowing that people were going to be a little bit, let's say, cynical about it, we knew that we had to actually be better than the other green products out there as far as what choices of raw materials we would take. And so we set our boundary to be at least 95% renewably sourced. We've investigated hybrid molecules that are somewhat petroleum-based while also renewably based. Honest to goodness, that's coming up against, for instance, the Natural Products Association saying, no, that's going to be counted as petroleum-based. So we have to find other ways to enlarge our inventory of raw materials that we can have.
What's coming first, the demand for environmental products or your concern for the environment as a company?
I won't say necessarily that we were so far ahead that we were decades in the making. We weren't. But we were, I would say, at least a good couple of years before everyone started moving this way. We were the moving force toward the fulcrum that put everybody on the tipping point.
Clorox, a sustainability leader, the company's even wending its way towards zero animal testing and producing containers without petrochemicals. So did you know that Clorox purchased the Burt's Bees franchise, your golden-tubed peppermint beeswax lip balm addiction? That's another way to brand yourself as sustainable, by product sustainable consumers crave. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.